Call the IT committee to order and clerk will call the roll.
Representative Chairman White.
Here.
Banning. Kempinick. Mox.
Here.
Powers.
Here.
Striley. Miller.
Yep.
Robinson.
Aye.
Shibley. City.
Here.
Wardner.
Here.
Chief Information Officer Felner.
Here.
Okay, committee, we do have a quorum. I think as you're all aware, we're here today to, I guess, listen to WSI on their IT project. They have been giving us updates, and the last time we did meet prior to session, it was obvious that we were going to need a update on the project, where it is, and whether the committee would then need to make a recommendation or not. So, do we have to do minutes? Okay, so before we start, that's right, we should, we need a motion from the committee for approval of the minutes. Okay, we have a motion by Senator Miller. Is there a second? Second by Senator City. All those in favor say aye. Okay, motion's approved. Now we can go forward in the interest of time here. Claire, are you going to lead off or Brian? Okay, Brian will lead off here and we'll, I'm sure the committee will have some questions here after we're done.
I'm sure, there will be, but we'll try to answer most of them during the testimony here so we don't have to have too many questions. But I'll start out with the testimony and just talk a little bit about our partner, how we dropped Aon off as one of our partner, and then towards the, when I finish with that, then I'll talk a little bit about the whole background of this project, when it started and so forth like that, and the cost. Good afternoon, members of the Interim Information and Technology Committee. My name is Brian Clifford. I'm the Director of Workforce Safety and Insurance. I'm here to inform you that we have dropped AN as a partner in WSI's Advanced Information Management Project. And when we talk about the partners, you know, we talk about, we have AON, we have HCL, we have WSI, we have Intertech, and then we also work with ITD. And so we've AON has been one of our partners in this pretty much since the start, and we've decided to drop them because of the performance. The contract for AON expired on December 31st of this year, or December 31st of 2012. And then with the approval of the Executive Steering Committee, which we are under in that process because of this large IT project, we have decided not to renew or extend the contract with AON, and also our WSI board was notified of this on January 2nd. Now we have probably two alternatives going forward, and you know, both of them are going to require governor and legislative probably approval. Probably the one alternative we have, since we've dropped AON as a partner, I think to go forward with both policy and claims again. I mean, that's what this was, system was supposed to be, an integrated, integrated system for our policy and claims. And find a new partner with AON, put an RFP out, look at what it would cost for policy and claims together. That could be one alternative. The second alternative that we could look at would be is we have money in our proposed budget for next biennium for just the policy side, and just go ahead and do the policy side and just hold off on the claims for, you know, a year or two, and hopefully we can get that completed later. I know, as Senator Robinson has said a few times, that, you know, I know that you've had this project on, you know, you inherited, but we like to see it done before you retire. But so I'm just going to make this statement here that the project was initiated and software vendor selected before WSI was returned to the control of the governor. And the project scope, original budget, and implementation were underway when I arrived as the director in March of 2009. Okay, to date, we have paid AON $6.7 million. If the project was successfully completed, we have paid Aon $8.8 million. Now, that's just Aon's portion. We have HCL and Intertek and other vendors too, so it's going to be more than the $6.7 million. But with Aon, you know, we've been trying to be financially sound with them, and since they haven't been delivering, we've had, we haven't paid certain invoices of $448,539. We've had some forfeited payments based on one of the amendments we signed with Aon because they haven't met their timelines of $420,000. We scoped policy out of that because they said they probably wouldn't be, they were supposed to do claims and policy both. They weren't able to do policy, so we descoped that. That was another $588,000. $607,000 in payments that they could have earned for a total of about $2 million that we have not paid, Aon. So again, we're trying to be financially sound with them. Our cost all along with these delays have been because of our, a lot of it because of Aon's delays have caused some of our third party costs to go up. One of our third party vendors was HCL. And their monthly payments, we negotiated them down from $91,000 to $63,000 per month. So what are some of the benefits that we've received from this working with Aon and moving forward with this system replacement project? Well, one of the big benefits that we have, or tangible result benefits we have, is the FileNet conversion. And this upgrade brings our imaging, storage, and retrieval of documents up to current technology capabilities. FileNet is a primary tool for electronic storage and retrieval of agency documents. So no matter what system we go to, we would have to have electronic documents that there's some place where they could retrieve them from. So I think that's been a tangible result. Backscanning documents, we have nearly 1 million documents taken from paper to electronic form. With the completion of the FileNet upgrade and the backscanning project, we now have almost all of our claims and policy-related documents in electronic format, which can easily be retrieved. A third tangible result is the system architect studies include recommendations for future technology architect that would best support WSA technology needs to the future. These studies and recommendations that we've done in the past should help us and be relevant and beneficial as we move forward to complete the replacement of our current applications. Some of the intangible benefits that we've seen. Unfortunately, because it's taken a long time, I guess unfortunately, our staff are well seasoned and are proficient on testing procedures associated with a project like this. So if we do go forward with a new project, I can honestly say our staff are prepared they know what they need and they know what you need to do to have a successful implementation. Another intangible is we have well-defined documentation on business requirements for the project going forward. And anytime you go into a new system replacement project, you need to have business requirements identified. That sometimes takes a long time to do, but I think we have a pretty good set established at this point so that we can continue on with whatever direction we decide to do. We've asked Aon to be more convincing and come to North Dakota and talk to our executive steering committee about assure us that they can be successful. Much like last June when we brought Aon out here and talked to this legislative committee again to assure us that they can complete this project. And so they met with your committee back in June, and I think they tried to reassure us. I'm not sure how much of an impact it made, but they tried. We continue to have some delays and difficulties with the delivery of their products into this past fall. So we ask Aon to come out to North Dakota and to talk to the Executive Steering Committee, which they did. And one of the things that they said they would do is they would come to bring their staff, some of their developers, some of their business analysts, and some of their project managers out here to North Dakota, which they did for the first week in December. We ask Aon to work on four components. Give us something to show that you can get our benefit calculations done for our injured workers. shows that you can get some correspondence done, shows that you can do the Mitchell integration, which is our bill review system, and business rules. And we just wanted them to we kind of let it up to them to show that they can succeed with this project. Well, they narrowed their focus greatly on what was to be accomplished, and I guess that really didn't help my confidence or the Executive Steering Committee's confidence that they're going to be able to succeed with this project in a timely manner. One of the examples I can give is, benefit calculation is vital for us. I mean, that's our whole reason we're here, to take care of injured workers. So we can't get an actual calculation of a benefit. We have some difficulty. So we wanted, one of the things we wanted Ann to do was to give us a benefit calculation from start to finish. And they kind of narrowed that down to just give us the first couple of steps, and we were never able to get the right answer at the end, but they felt they succeeded by just having a couple of steps pass. And like I said before, we just can't function like that. We have to have a system that we know that will repay our injured workers. I've stated this, I guess, all along to our to this committee and the others, that the injured workers, the policyholders, our medical providers, they can be assured that we will not go forward with any system replacement that is not going to take care of our customers' needs. And when it appeared that the benefit calculation factor of this wasn't working right, I mean, that's one of our major needs for our customers. In earlier testimony, I told you that if we felt Ann could finish the project and we didn't think so, we would tell you. All along, all these other times we met with you, we felt that Ann could complete it. It may have taken a little bit more longer time to do than we really wanted, but we thought they could. But I guess our confidence has been narrowed greatly. And so at this point, I don't feel Ann can give us a product that we need. And with that, again, I'll qualify that statement with maybe they could, but we can't wait another 2, 3, 4 years. Technology changes so much in the meantime, with iPads and smartphones and all these things that we have to deal with. So that's the part of Aon. Now, a little background on this system replacement project. This was started back in 2006. There was a study done, and there was determined that WSI needed a system replacement for a business function, and the system replacement would be an integrated policy and a claim system. An RFP was sent out in 2007, and Valley Oak was selected and contracted, and we signed the contract with them in June of 2007. In 2008, Valley Oak, who said they could do this project and who said everything, we come to agreement on the business requirements and so forth, who said they could do it, was sold to Aon eSolutions. And again, Aon eSolutions said they could. 2009, I took over, and my first couple of conversations with our staff was, this project isn't going very good. We brought Aon out. I started in March. We brought Aon out in June to meet with the governor's office and others, and just a process to prod him to get to going. In 2010, we signed Amendment Number 7. I mean, some of you probably remember that, where we worked with Aon because Aon said, "Well, you have way too many features. That's too many enhancements. We can't do that for you." So we worked with them to kind of narrow those features down for our business needs. We paid an extra $2.7 million we had from our budget to pay Aon for this. And again, with that contract, with the addendum to Amendment Number 7 in 2007, we added forfeiture of payments and other adjustments if they don't make the delivery times. In 2010, the delivery schedule was we were supposed to have our claims system in place in January of 2012, and our policy system was supposed to be done in September of 2012. Neither of those happened. We've tried to be financially accountable to them. We've, you know, even before we went under the Executive Steering Committee, which we started in December of 2011, back in August of 2011, we were withholding payments from AN because their software delivery was not what it was supposed to be. The quality wasn't good. It wasn't testing out very good. With the, you know, Executive Steering Committee guidance, we continue to withhold, you know, payments to AON. We withheld $448,000 in payments. They you know, had to forfeit some of those payments because they didn't make their delivery for claims in January of 2012. And we were also able to negotiate a substantial amount of maintenance and support from AN after we go live. So if we would have gone live with this system, we would have had a year and a half or so of maintenance, free maintenance. But the thing was, the problems we were having AON with implementation, we didn't know if we wanted to continue on with AON for post-go live. So, but that was another thing we tried to negotiate. Okay, this is the cost. We paid $6.7 million has been paid to AON. $7 million has been paid to HCL. $3 million to other vendors, including ITD. To date, WSI has spent about $17 million in total project cost. Now, I'm very, very disappointed with that number. I wish we could have got more, but one thing I can tell this committee is that that no benefits for injured workers or no premium rates have been raised for employers because of this money. And the way the money has been paid out, the way it's been working is this is all paid out of our excess of reserves. So same thing as our safety dollars and our scholarships for injured workers and the IVOS project, all are paid out. So the only thing that this would really affect would be the premium dividend paid out to the employers. But the last 3 years, we've paid out the maximum premium dividend that we can by law, so it really hasn't impacted those numbers at all. So, again, the financial strength and the size of operation is going to, we can weather this very well. Yes, like I said, I'm not downplaying it any. I'm very disappointed in the number, but we're financially strong and we can, like I said, weather this very well. What are our plans going forward? Yes, sir.
I can wait if you want to.
Yeah. Okay.
Wait, I've got some questions. Maybe you want to complete your comment.
Yeah, why don't we do that? And if that's okay with you, then we can we'll have some questions later. Is that okay? Okay, the plan going forward. We're working to effectively and skillfully separate from AON and their partners. One of the partners with AON was our bill review, and as you recall from some other testimony, we've had some delays in paying our bills to providers. So we've discontinued that part with AON, and we've gone back to our CMS systems. We're in the process of converting back to what we've done it before. If the executive branch and legislative officials agree, we'll start an RFP process quickly. Perhaps we could get a very accurate estimate of the cost before the legislature completes its work. Our staff, they spend a lot of time on this early season. They can move forward with a new software system. We have well-documented business requirements. Second plan, if we didn't want to go forward with the claims and policy both, like I said, we have the money in our proposed budget for the next biennium for just the policy. Estimate, if we want to go, and this is, you know, just talking to various vendors, estimates are that it would take anywhere from 22 to 30 months to complete a fully new claims and policy system. This is a very broad estimate of cost. It could anywhere from $3 to $10 million. So, but we'd have to go through an RFP to find out for sure. Obviously, this is money that belongs to our employers, and we would be evaluating whatever legal option we would have to see if we'd get any of our money back. So why now? Why have we discontinued our relationship with AON? You're looking back, it's been a number of years. I feel WSI has worked diligently. We have given AON every chance and then some to have them successfully complete the project. We had them come out, try to convince the Executive Steering Committee. The four key components that we're supposed to look at completing, the benefit calculation, correspondence, Mitchell and business rules, they had difficulty with those. They kind of narrowed their focus. And as a result, the WSI, the increase, executive steering committee and WSI, felt that they probably wouldn't be able to complete the project. I'm going to end this with, there was really two points in this that really convinced me that this is probably not the way to go. One of them, as I mentioned before, was the benefit calculation. And we just, when we found out what was being done on that and how the difficulty they were having getting a benefit calculation for injured workers, I felt it was, this is something that's not going to work properly. And the last thing was our staff, the staff morale. I've been working with this company for the last 5 years and not making a lot of progress. The morale of our staff wasn't as way it should have been either. And I think that was, it's like a burden was lifted off everybody's shoulders when the decision was made to discontinue with Aon. So that concludes my report. And if there's any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Brian, I have a couple questions here. One in reference to the RFP and stuff. It's my understanding, I assume you're sending them a letter for breach of contract or whatever, that you would have the ability to say go to the number two vendor, but is that even within a reasonable? Obviously, you got about 5 years, so maybe that's not even. But in the interest of speeding up things, is that even a possibility of looking at to go whoever the number two vendor was when you did the original?
Mr. Chairman, I think it, when the original proposal was done back in 2006 or 2007, I mean, things have changed so much. And I don't really think that would really be a good move to go to a vendor that happened that long ago. I think our best bet, and I'm not, as far as the legal procurement rules, I think the best way to do it to make sure that it's done right is just go through an RFP and hopefully get some vendors or RFI or just try to get some vendors and get some additional costs so we have some money or some information on the dollars for the legislature and the governor's office.
Yeah, my next question would be in reference to HCL. I don't see the numbers, but they were paid, 7.1 million roughly to HCL. And I know it had to do with project management, but is that where all the funds went for project management? Did they do any part of the software or anything else? I mean, because I'm kind of curious when the management then becomes more costly than the programming, it seems like.
They did, it started out, they were like project management, No, it's first they're like change management, project management, and then testing. And we got out the change management to change this new system. They were supposed to help out with the training and so forth, so we eliminate that part, but they were project management and testing. So the software and so forth that Aon would send to us for our claim side, HCL would set up the test environment and we'd go through testing to see if the items worked or not.
Okay. Senator Robinson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Brian, a couple things come to mind, and I know looking back, hindsight's 2020, but what would you identify as the top lessons learned in the last 6 years in this experience with this project?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Robinson, I think, just looking back, I think in the first of all, I'm going to make the comment, and hopefully legally this doesn't harm us anyway, but I don't believe we need to blame WSI or anybody else for Aon's failure to deliver the software. So some of the things that I would like to see done differently is probably if we did an RFP again, make sure we have our business requirements really accurate, exactly what we need, which we should have already. I would like to, once we have some potential vendors, maybe travel to someplace where this product's already being used, so we can see, talk to some other customers to see if the product's working okay, because, you know, and both Valley Oak and Aon really didn't have a product, so they were developing it from ground up, so it'd be nice not to be number one and try to find somebody else to have done it already and do more work on maybe on the front end to make sure that we feel satisfied with those customers and then go forward with the company at that point.
Mr. Chairman, I might continue. I know over the course of the last 5 or 6 years we've discussed the issue, and I'm not assessing blame on anyone here, of the best route to go in terms of project management. Who should be doing it? Who should be responsible? To what extent did that play into some of the challenges we've had with this whole project? We've changed managers 2 or 3 times here.
Well, when we had the McGladrey audit done, you know, and they gave this report, this was part of our financial audit. One of the points that was brought out, and I don't know if it was in the report or they mentioned it to me personally, but it's really unusual to have a company like Aon, who's providing a product, not to have a project manager on site, you know, all the time. And so with a project manager on site, you know, they need some resources or whatever, they can reach out to the company and so forth to do that. So I think that was one thing. The other thing that it seems to me with WSI employees, we spend a lot of time testing Aon's products. So they would send some software out, and we would do all the testing, and then we find out, well, it's not working. So Aon should have probably tested it on the front end and have their own testing process before, and make sure it's a quality product before they send it out.
Mr. Chairman, and that's another issue, and not to get to belabor that, but we have some embedded cost in all of that that probably don't show up in these figures.
Okay.
Finally, and I don't want to put anyone on the spot here, but in your discussions, you reference here in the report that option number one would be most desirable. Is that something that you have agreement with ITD on regarding, you know, where we go from here, or has that conversation been held yet?
The conversation really hasn't been held. I guess there's other avenues we have to go through. I'm just saying, it would be nice to have both the integrated policy and claim system like we had before.
Okay.
And if we go with a vendor for just policy, a lot of times it's just not that simple where you do policy and then you do claims. There's some interaction where they do some claim stuff maybe while they're doing some policy stuff. So I guess that's something that we would, you know, have to take a look at as we move forward.
Thank you.
Senator Miller?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Kipfel, I'm kind of more curious about the process of deciding we're going to can Aon here and how, you know, I missed a bunch of hearings, but when they came out, I suppose it was 10 months ago or whatever, and spoke to this committee, I don't remember when it was, but
June.
Yeah, they seemed confident in some degree that they could get this thing going. I'm kind of curious as to the attitudes and the mindset and the more the personality behind it, and you know, when you're having conversations and sitting down and actually talking about this product with in front of you, what led to that? Because, you know, that's something we want to sniff this out before we hire somebody again.
Right. Mr. Chairman, Senator Miller, it seemed like almost every time we had Aon out here, or you know, they would come out and they would have this good marketing tool to say this is what we can do for you and what we will do for you, but their actions never followed their words. And so it's, you know, even going back to, you know, June of 2010 when we did our amendment, we thought, hey, we've taken care of water under the bridge, now let's start anew. And they weren't delivering as much of a software product as they were supposed to. And so it kind of delayed or pushed their time back some more. And then when we did get some stuff, the quality of the software wasn't very good. So I think all along, it seems like they would come out here and they would say they could get this done for us, but like I say, their actions never demonstrated that at all.
And continuing with, who were you dealing with? What was the title of the person you were dealing with primarily? I mean, was it some guy who was in charge of government relations, or was it a computer programmer? I mean, that's kind of...
Yeah, well, we dealt with the CEO of Aon eSolutions on a number of times, but I suppose the main person we talked to was, I'm not sure his title, it's operating officer or whatever, but we dealt with him most of the time. And so, but we did deal with others, and you know, we had correspondence with Aon eSolutions director and even her boss. So we tried all different levels.
Representative Mott.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Klipfel, so I've got the third quarter large project summary, and this may be a question that's more appropriate to Ms. Fellner. You said that right now we've spent about $17 million, and I show that in November, or as this report was in November, but by the third quarter that we were at $16.7 million. And the estimated actual cost was closer to 18. It was $17.8 million. Mm-hmm. Do you, when you say it was $17 million, about how much have we spent on this project so far?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Mock, we've spent $17 million.
It's $17 million, right. And your estimates that any new project would cost in the range of $3 to $10 million in additional.
That's my estimate without an RFP.
Absolutely, absolutely. What does that cost include? I know the contracts and the services by the vendor, but does that include any overtime hours logged by your staff and providing any additional services? Nothing?
No staff time at all.
I'm sorry for just continuing on, Mr. Chairman, but have you had any overtime hours that have been as a result of the implementation of this project? I remember in June, we were starting testing, we were getting ready to go live. I imagine that we had staff coming in and entering data in both systems. What are we looking at for this for your agency spending money to implement a project that's ultimately not going to be fulfilled in its previous form?
I don't have the exact number, but it would be a lot more. I mean, we have paid some of our staff additional dollars because of the extra duties they're doing, because they're expected to be a claim supervisor plus come up and do some testing on the product. So we pay some dollars extra there. We have some overtime and just normal staff time that, like I say, these claim supervisors and others that could be working down in their unit are now working up there testing the product.
Would it be possible for you to get some of those estimates for costs?
Okay, yeah, we can get some costs for you, but we had, when this agreement was first put into place, we had, the agreement that we would, we would pay the salaries for Intertech, that's one of the third-party vendors, in lieu of our salaries for our agency. So that was the decision that was made back then, not to include the salaries in the project dollars because we're paying this other vendor. But in your point is well taken. In reality, we did have a lot of staff time in this too. So. And that it probably would be difficult to come up with some dollars, but it would be more than $17 million.
Well, and Mr. Chairman, I guess the main reason I really bring that up is if you're ever going to go to the Attorney General's office and we're ever looking at pending litigation to recover some of these costs, it's not just the sunk costs that are paid directly for services, but I mean your agency spent a significant amount of money implementing a project that they expected to deliver upon and never did.
Right.
And that concerns me. So I certainly hope that information would help if we do challenge them. Mm-hmm. So the other question I'd have, Mr. Chairman, if I may continue.
Continue.
Has the length of processing a claim been affected at all, specifically since we started implementing this project?
Chairman, Representative Mock, no, it hasn't. We're using our claims system that we've used. Back in 2006, they said it needed to be replaced. We're using that claim system, and at this point, it is still working fine. So all the payments to injured workers, we haven't had any problems there. The problem we did have was with the bill paid to providers, because there's a partner with Aon that was supposed to help with the bill payment. That hasn't worked out like we wanted it to work out, so we're going back to our regular way we paid bills before, which seemed to work, you know, back then. You know, I think one of the issues that we have to take a look at here, I mean, we've spent so much time in this technology the last few years, and technology changes all the time, so by the time we get some of this stuff implemented, there's new things that we should be looking at. I alluded to it a little bit before as far as, you know, smartphones or iPads. If you have an employer out there that wants to, you know, check their account or they want to file payroll or whatever, it'd be nice to be able to have that ability to do that. So I think, you know, those things have really, we've been kind of putting on the back burner, so hopefully we can look at those now into the future.
Well, thank you, and I'm glad to know that the length of processing a claim hasn't been adjusted. You mentioned that the project, I have to note that I think we have a few iPhone 5s in the room, and when this project started, I don't know if the iPhone was even introduced at that time. Yeah. So you're right, the technology has certainly evolved over those years.
Yeah, that's very unfortunate.
That's a long time ago, sir. Representative Kepnick?
Well, Mr. Chairman and Brian, would there be any, you know, when you talk about lessons learned and stuff on it, do you think that the benchmarks that you put in should have been harder? Where they, you know, even, yeah, I know your time, this was started, but even before, you know, when the Amendment 7, they were missing benchmarks already then. Do you think there should have been some harder benchmarks where this wasn't, you know, because you had salesmen selling you stuff, mm-hmm. and they were selling sand to the Arabs, and it didn't work, obviously. In retrospect, do you think that is something that needs, I mean, these, you know, you learn something now, but the benchmarks are hard, there's benchmarks and then there's hard benchmarks mm-hmm. and stuff on it. Going forward, the other thing is you mentioned a little bit. You had a brief on maintenance and support, on what is there right now, what it is, because I know there's been other projects that have gone south over the years, mm-hmm. and you've had different, but you've usually had has been subsidiaries of a bigger company, so the maintenance and support has been picked up by them here. What kind of maintenance and support is even available with this? Or, you know, because if you rebid this again, are we basically, what's there is not going to be able to be integrated into what you have or what going forward on it?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Kepinich, I think the, you know, as far as the requirements, I think we would do a better job. I mean, we've learned a lot more on it. I know ITD has had some training on contracts and so forth, so I think some of our people have got some information out there, and so I think we could do a lot better job with you know, putting the business requirements and so forth in the contract, and so I think that would be something we do. Well, your second question was?
Was maintenance and support of what you have now.
Our current system, our current CMS claim system is in-house built. So we have developers and so forth that have built it and worked on it, and so it's one of our, it's ours. So we, you know, as far as maintenance and so forth, we would take care of those.
So what you got from Aon was very limited as far as any type of support, or you didn't get, there's nothing that you got.
They
from
kept the code. I mean, we don't have the code for that, so Aon has.
Okay, so you didn't even get that. Okay.
Representative Power.
Thank you, Chairman. So far, this has cost $17 million, and you project just roughly 3 to 10 to continue. Can you put any kind of a value on that $17 million that we have spent? Is it $2 million or $8 million or?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Power, I mean, that's, I tried to, in some of the testimony, I tried to put some dollar amounts on it. A lot of those, you know, I think it's really difficult to say exactly, you know, if it's $1 million or $2 million or $3 million we've gotten out of it, because a lot of the benefits we received were maybe some of the intangible benefits. So As far as an exact dollar amount, it's, like I say, it's difficult to come up with that number. But we, you know, we didn't get as much as we wanted for the money that we spent.
But everybody's got questions. Brian, just back slightly to your lessons learned and looking at the dollars you paid out. You know, you paid out Aon most of what they've had coming. Considering that the deliverables were so poor for a long time, you know, and granted you didn't do the contract, I'm well aware of that, or you inherited, but why were we making so many payments to Aon when, you know, frankly, the deliverables weren't functioning?
Well, like I said, we renegotiated the contract in 2010, and so...
Okay, just to interrupt you now, yeah. At that point, how much had you paid Aon?
I'm not sure of that number.
No, you don't. Okay.
So, but I guess the point is we've negotiated. You know, if they didn't make their deadlines to pay for that, we didn't pay for their products that we didn't get. So a lot of Aon really hasn't been the big increase in costs. It's their delays have been costing, the third party costs to come up. And that's where a lot of our costs are coming
in. I understand that. You know, you're obviously, and I brought it up, you paid HCL a ton of money, but you know, based on your testimony, you don't owe Aon that much more. I mean, you know, that you're not going to pay, you know, because they haven't. But so, you know, I'm still kind of questioning why we paid them $6.7 million when I don't know if they delivered 30% of what they promised or whatever. You know, and I understand where the cost ballooned under HCL because you were bringing them in to try to get all this done. But we were still obviously at some point writing checks to Aon that I guess, you know, I would maybe question as a lesson learned, should we have been paying them when we really didn't have a functioning product? Maybe they were delivering products, but they obviously didn't function.
Right.
You know, as you've made it clear that you could use.
Well, I think in the 2010, and Doug, you can correct me if I'm wrong on that, but I think that when we did the 2010 amendment, we dealt more with deliverables. If you deliver something, that's when we pay. But before that, you know, it was probably more just a set amount, you know, per month or whatever. So we did try to change it when we renegotiated the contract in 2010.
Senator Robinson?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple comments. Some of us on this committee were on the committee long before this project was even thought about. But, you know, and I reflect back, there was ongoing concern for the last number of years. And one of the lessons learned is perhaps we should have not only in the area of project management, demanded maybe upfront one manager throughout, but regarding deliverables, spending off what you're talking about, Mr. Chairman, is drawing a deeper line in the sand. I lost tremendous credibility in Aon last summer in June when they were here and they were still pointing the fingers at us and not accepting responsibility. And to me, that's the large part of resolving any issue. You've got to, if you've got a problem, if there's shared responsibility and both parties are stepping to the plate, that's one thing. But I didn't sense that last summer at all. If you recall our discussion, it was you people should, and you should do this, and you should do that. And it wasn't a situation that we have failed in this area, and we're going to beef it up or whatever. And that's unfortunate. I would hope they don't go on and do the same thing to another entity, irregardless where they're located, in our state or another state. They shouldn't be getting a very good recommendation out of North Dakota, I would hope.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Robinson, I guess along with that too, and the Aon was doing a product for another state, and there's a lawsuit in that state also with the Aon, so. I have talked to that CEO and it's almost like deja vu. This exact same thing happened down there is happening here. So.
Uh, Senator Miller or Senator City first?
Mr. Chairman and Brian, I'm referring to an article in the forum today, and this was before your tenure, discussing Connolly and Associates' warning back in 2008. I know, again, it was before you got there, but why wasn't that heated? And when you came on board, were you made aware of this? Because it seems as though some of these very specific warnings were going to point out these problems that they just weren't capable of delivering.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, Senator City, it is kind of interesting. I mean, with that it was the Connolly report that reported that, but and I think, you know, that was, like I say, before my time, but, you know, there was convincing from some people at WSI to the governor's office that we should continue with this project that is going to work. So, you know, I guess the warnings weren't heeded because they, maybe AN was able to provide some information to say it's going to work. So, but that was discussed and brought up before, even before my tenure.
I'm just so concerned, Mr. Quipfel, because, you know, you told us that what you really need is an integrated system for policy and claims, and now you're talking about separating that. And so, you know, is it maybe it's time to just take a deep breath and step back entirely until you can really, rather than rushing to get another RFP done for just policy or just claims. I mean, I think if you know what you really need, I would encourage you to get what you really need rather than reacting too quickly to this mess that we've found ourselves in. Yeah.
Thank you.
Senator Miller.
Well, I was just wondering, all the work that's been done thus far, is that the property of WSI? Or is that, I mean, is there something that, I don't know, could be useful to some other company if we go, okay, this is what they built so far, can you fix it?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Miller, I think the testing and so forth of the product that we've done for AON, I think we've probably done a lot of work that they probably should have been doing themselves. But so, you know, maybe with that, maybe they're going to be able to eventually succeed and build a claim system and sell it to somebody else. I'm not sure, you know, but, you know, for what we needed, it wasn't going to happen very soon here in North Dakota. And, you know, maybe there's another system that they can put together that's for a smaller company or something that would work better. But for us, it just didn't work.
Further questions from the committee, and I don't want to squeeze anybody, but we do have another meeting at 4 o'clock in this room.
Mr. Chairman?
But Senator Robinson, yes.
Well, please. I don't know where we go from here. We needed a motion of sort or whatever, but I would have a question if there's any comments from Lisa and ITD that she'd like to add to the discussion today as we leave this meeting and move on. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but we're all in this together, Lisa.
Well, I would say one of the things I think has worked really well is the Executive Steering Committee. And I know Brian's mentioned that before. Yeah. Because we're all now looking at this, and I think some from an outside perspective as well. And so we meet, we meet again Friday. We meet very often lately going over each step of this, and I think that's made a big difference as we move forward on this project.
And that hasn't been in place very long.
No.
Well, committee, you know, the reason for the meeting was and all was to hear, of course, an update, and obviously we have more of an update than maybe expected, but I mean, the reason I called the meeting and wanted to hear what was going on, and then it felt it was incumbent on the committee because of the issues that have been going on for the last 5 or 6 years that the committee would make a decision on whether to recommend that WSI shelve the project or not. Obviously, they have already made that decision. And so I don't believe, you know, that in this case we would need a motion for anything because, one, if the committee did feel it should be shelved, the recommendation is kind of meaningless because they have already decided to do that. So I mean, I'm not sure a motion is necessarily in order. I suppose you could have a motion in support of what they've already decided to do if the committee so desired, but at least that was my purpose for the meeting, that we'd hear what they'd have to say and then make a decision on this committee on whether we thought they should go forward or not. They've obviously taken a look at it since our last meeting and have made that decision. And I think it's important that we've, you know, this committee knows why and the rationale and the questions and that we had for them on what's happened and why they did what they did and where they at least hope to going forward. Rutz and Power, did you have something?
No, I was just a thought. You know, I don't know how long that other state has been into the lawsuit and whatever, but if there was a, if there would ever be any merit to partnering on that lawsuit, that's all.
I think that would probably be an answer for the Attorney General and the...
Oh, yeah.
You know, Senator Robinson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know you have another meeting. Very quickly, I'm certainly supportive of the decision that's been made. The other comment I would make, I think it really underscores the importance of the work this committee does, the Executive Steering Committee, the SciTech Committee. I know ITD's been around since 1995. We've taken a lot of heat and a lot of criticism. And then Majority Leaders Gary Nelson and John Dorso took quite a beating because we're going to centralize everything. And it's right. This very, very issue that we were looking at way back then, because some states have a long history of losing millions and millions of dollars on these projects. And we've done quite well with a couple exceptions. But I think it just behooves us to continue to ask tough questions and be willing to take some heat for that, because maybe we should have been tougher 5 years ago, 4 years ago, 3 years ago. That's behind us. But that's certainly a lesson we've learned from a legislative perspective. We've got to be vigilant and ask tough questions, draw the line in the sand, and if a committee has concerns, we can be very supportive of agencies who also have concerns. And maybe we, thinking back, we should have done a lot of things differently, but going forward, hopefully we do.
Well, committee, you know, and just to point out, you know, we do have the bill drafts that are in the Senate side. I think actually the hearings are Friday. You know, dealing with establishing, you know, legislatively that executive committee basically and stuff, which I think are extremely important. And as Senator Robinson, those of us that have been here since back when Nelson and Dorso pushed this, you know, we've come a long way. And granted, you aren't going to make all the steps immediately. And I think it's easy to look back and say, yeah, you know, in hindsight, 5 years ago, I wish we would have had this in place. You know, we should have had it in place. But again, I think we are learning from our mistakes. We have legislation that improves upon what we've done up to this point, and I'm sure down the road we're going to find more changes to make this even better. But I would like to, you know, echo Senator Robinson's comments that this committee is important from the standpoint of, you know, one, making sure the rest of the legislature understands what's going on and making sure that we don't have any more of these problems in projects than we have now, and that they get even fewer and farther between.
I might, in defense of the current administration, one of the reasons we, I think, as a committee, kept prolonging this is we went through, what, three or four executive directors?
Yeah.
And we're thinking that, you know, we got to give this some time for the new exec to get up to speed. So not to make excuses, but this was an unusual situation.
And then it was, and, you know, and... But again, is there anything else at the committee question? I want to thank you, Brian. I realize this wasn't the most pleasant experience. If not, we will. I guess I'll have a motion to adjourn. Second. Okay. Committee's adjourned. Thank you, committee. Appreciate you coming in today. You can send the next bunch in.